And that's the beauty of sports, and kind of we form these like allegiances and things, and it's like it becomes almost like family. Sometimes you get it from your family. You might have gone with your mom or your dad or like a grandparent, you know, but like you form an attachment to the team, and I feel it. You know, I mean, I feel it as a fan, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to as an employee.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, and in this episode, Matt Anderson is joined by Tim Gunkel, Executive Director of Ballpark Technology and Procurement for the New York Mets. He's going to talk about his experience in baseball, the focus on the fan experience, his visit to Brookings for the Baseball User Group, and more.
All right, and today we are welcomed here by Tim Gunkel. Tim, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Thanks for joining the podcast while you're here. So for our listeners, maybe just to start us off, could you tell us a little bit about your role with the New York Mets?
Sure. So I am the Executive Director of Ballpark Technology and Procurement. That's a role that's relatively new for me. For most of my career, I've been in the production and entertainment side, working out of marketing, you know, but really running our production group. And then about a year and a half ago, I started to transition over into more technology side stuff. And so right now, most of my focus is on kind of like the technical side of both the production operation upgrades we want to do and some work we're doing at some of our other facilities like our minor league park and our spring training park.
Okay. And you said you started with that about a year ago. How long have you been with the team then?
A long time.
Okay.
So I was a college intern in 1984.
All right.
Actually, while I was still in college in 85, I was like a scoreboard assistant director. It was a smaller type of operation back then. Then I moved after school. I moved up to Boston. I took a job. Less than a year later, my old Mets boss called and said, hey, you know, team's doing really well. It was 86. They mm-hmm. were headed for the postseason. He said, would you like to come back and work for us? Maybe work the World Series. So, of course, the answer is yes. Anytime someone asks if you want to work a World Series, please say yes.
Yep.
So I went back, and they had also just taken on a partner, which was a new regional sports network, called Sports Channel in New York.
Okay.
And so they were going to have about 100 of their games on cable now, so all their games would be televised, that kind of thing. And so they were looking for content, and one of the parts of when I went back there was, hey, we need a producer to serve as a Mets producer for this weekly magazine show that we were doing. Mm-hmm. So there was a producer from Sports Channel and me from the Mets. And together we put together this 30-minute weekly show, like interviews and highlights, that kind of stuff. So that plus scoreboard kind of got me a full-time role at the Mets. And that was in 87. Mm-hmm. And then I was there for 88 also. In 89, I left and did some other work in the industry, kind of portable outdoor screens, you know,
okay.
big screen stuff, but for portable and outdoor events.
Like concerts and stuff.
Concerts,
like that?
Sporting events, auto racing, almost anything you could think of.
Okay.
And then I, sort of a parallel to how I came back, you know, there from Boston, my old boss called again and said, hey, you know, we've been trying to start this kids show, a weekly kids television show, you know, based around the Mets. And they'd done a couple of demo episodes and the in-house production staff had like kind of cooked it up and it was good.
Okay.
And they wanted to build that out and do it, you know, like on a weekly basis or do a season. So I got hired back again. This was in 93.
All right.
And I joined the team as kind of like the head of the productions group and was the, you know, one of the producers on this show. And it went well. I mean, it was a great, fun, creative endeavor with almost no budget. So my colleague on that show, Vito Vitiello, who's still the producer and director for the Mets, he directs the scoreboard show.
Right.
Tremendous, talented guy. And we were just like two crazy people, like pulling an all-nighter every Thursday to put this show together on a shoestring. But we had a ton of fun and the players were into it. You know, the younger players were all into doing like funny gag stuff on video.
And that's good.
So anyway, it turned out well. We actually won a New York Emmy for it.
Oh, you did?
A local Emmy, yeah. And so that was... That was nice. That statue still looks good. It's very lonely, but it looks good on the shelf. And so anyway, that was me. And I came back to the Mets in 93. And, you know, really from production through kind of like a slightly wider role in like marketing and events and those things, have been there ever since. And then just recently, you know, this past year transitioned over to work for our technology group, which, you know, I've always kind of been like a techie person.
Mm-hmm.
techie for me was kind of like the key to getting like the creative stuff. Like, how can we make this happen? How can we
build the vision this? In your head and be able to. Yeah.
Right. And so like it was, you know, some people I think are pure, you know, creatives and come from that side. I came more from like a tech side. I always wanted to figure out like how we could do it or how we could do something with the tools we had, you know, and again, for a lot of people in this business, you know, you're not dealing with like huge motion picture budgets and facilities and tons of staff, mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out, okay, I saw something really cool. I want to figure out how I can pull it off with the gear I have and my two buddies or, you know, my intern and me. And you can, and that's like part of the fun. So, mm-hmm. So that's been my career. And I, you know, everybody will tell you like at some point in their life, oh, I didn't really know where I was going to end up. I didn't think I was going to end up here, but here I am. So,
yeah.
And it's been good. It's been really good.
And you talked about, you know, now you have to work with, or you've been working with marketing and groups. When you were doing some of those original shows where you said you didn't have, you know, a whole lot to go around it, were you responsible then? Did you have like commercials and sponsorships that you had to help with as well?
Well, you know, at the time, Sports Channel, the cable network was selling the ad time.
Okay.
And then the team had a little bit of ad time in each show. So we were responsible for the ads that would go in on behalf of the team. But then we had ad insertion that they would send us and say, here's the ad layout for this week, and we'd put it in the show. Again, today that would all be done. That would all be automated. It would all be inserted automatically. Yep. Back then, you know, we were editing this show on tape and we were inserting the commercials and, you know, truly pulling an all-nighter on Thursday nights to get it over there to their master control by Friday so they could spool it up and get it ready to play out on Saturday morning. So again, great experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but I don't think I'd want to go back and do all-nighters every Thursday now.
Yeah. So you starting off with even, you mentioned like broadcast type work at a time when maybe that wasn't the case for, you know, big video displays in sports stadiums. So you were on the channel side of it, but then you also ran the scoreboard. Maybe talk a little bit, how is that different now? Because it's obviously become a lot different than it was back then. There some places they're almost parallel where they may take a streaming feed and it's the same online as it is on the video board, but some places may break it up a little bit. Can you talk about how you've kind of seen that change over the years?
Sure. So when I first joined the Mets as an intern in 84, I think they were probably a year and a half, maybe two seasons into their having a video board. Okay. And you know, it was really exciting because for the first time you could show replays, you could show video. I mean, you know, if you look at some of the old video and some of the headshots from that day, it was not tremendous. It certainly didn't match even what was on TV at the time. But it was something new, and it was like a way to add to the fan experience that just didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting. I think really from the inception on the like the scoreboard and the in-game production side, we've always kind of like taken our cue from broadcast and sort of like tried to chase that. Like you'll hear people say, oh, broadcast quality or like this and that. And it's like, you know, we would see something like on the big national network broadcast and we're like, ooh, okay, how can we do that? And it's kind of the same thing where you're trying to like, you know, break it apart and say, okay, can we execute something like that? And again, as the tools have gotten better and better and you've gone to, you know, obviously digital and 3D and graphics cards and stuff, now the tools that you have, you know, at your disposal as a production person for a team, you know, for any kind of small facility, you know, related to like a network or a big mm-hmm. movie studio, you can do a lot of amazing stuff that really, you know, in terms of technical, you know, finish, approximates what you see on broadcast or on film. You know, now there are things that they can do because of the number of people and the budgets they have and just the pure like creative, you know, horsepower they can put at something,
yep.
you know, that maybe you can't do, but you like technologically, we can make it look, you know, we can do 4K. We can do, you know, I mean, if people want to, you can do 8K. You know, we can do, you know, really beautiful looking graphics and 3D and all the motion tricks and everything and compositing. So now you've got that tool set. And what that's done is it's allowed a whole new crop of like creative people to come in and like to say, okay, like I can build on this. I can take this somewhere, you know, newer and better. And so when we talk about like, you know, being like broadcast, technologically, like we want to have that finish. We want it to be that high-end look. But then there are things that we do differently, deliberately, and there are things that we do better kind of in a way than broadcast, in that we're very much about the live experience in the venue. So, you know, whereas TV is kind of a different type of medium where it's mainly going out and it's more of a passive thing for the viewer. You know, we've got the people in the building generally. A lot of times they're in their seats, they're watching the game live. And, you know, here we are as like part of the experience, complementing the action on the field, helping them make connections to the players.
There's like an engagement level kind of. Yep.
Yeah. And also just a natural energy. Like, you know, at a sporting event, when things are, you know, either close or going well for your team, like, you know, you're energized. You're on the edge of your seat. Like, you know, so it's a really great environment in which to do programming. And that's what we get to work for. And, you know, we get to do the rev up and pump up videos and, like, you know, again, music highlight videos, and also the stuff that brings like player personalities out. Like, we're always trying to create those connections where, you know, if you have 40,000 people in a building, they can't all have a one-on-one experience with each player. Like, they can't be like, oh, I really like this player and I'm going to meet him and I'm going to all these things. I mean, that would be great if you could. So you've got all these tools now, like social media and other things, where they can kind of have like a virtual connection to the player. They can feel like they're getting to know them, get to know their personality. And to a large degree, that's like a huge asset for any team, because now when the fans have kind of like an attachment, you know, like a passion for the specific players, you know, now I'm like even more, you know, or ardent, you know, I'm a more passionate fan, I'm more engaged. And it's entertaining too. I mean, frankly, most of these players have like great personalities. They're fun to get to know. Some of them are quirky. Some of them are funny. Some of them are intense, you know, and it's great getting to know that. And you know, like every person will have like a different favorite player on a team. And so part of what the production group does is like expose that to the fans and let them kind of have that feeling. So when I talk about doing things a little bit differently than broadcast, knowing that the audience is in the venue, they're watching the game, it just gives you kind of like a different feel. And I've seen straight like really, really good like video producers who don't do live events sort of not get some of the things, you know, whereas like a person that comes in from any team, from, you know, again, a college, you know, baseball team that's doing it, or a minor league team, or any of the pro teams, like, they get it right away because they know it's like you're hearing the crowd.
Yeah.
You know exactly what they're feeling. You know when they respond. So there's an energy there and a fan sort of participatory element that just TV doesn't have.
Yep. And it's one of those, you know, getting people engaged to things where, like you're saying, maybe it's, you know, whether it's between timeouts or between innings, it's not just running straight up advertised commercials that you may mix in there too. But I mean, we've seen any number of different types of things, like fan cams that are, you know, throughout the years of seeing people do different stuff, or karaoke cams. You mentioned getting to know players. Is that kind of, I've seen this, you know, maybe they'll ask the audience like, what's this player's favorite, whatever. And then is it going through those types of things? What are some of the engagement things that have worked the best? Has it been those kind of like player engagement things, or do you guys do anything different with live cameras? Do you do any cam type stuff, or
we do. You know, the community that does this, the community that does sort of live in-game programming in all the sports, you know, at the college level, at the minor league level, there's so many like smart, creative people, and they're all also very like open and sharing. So we get together for different organizations, you know, like IDEA and some other conferences and things, and the IDEA sharing is really spectacular. So we've had ideas in the past that we were really proud of that we show everybody, and then, you know, somebody says, hey, like, I really like that idea. Like, you know, and, you know, I mean, they can borrow it, they can use it. I mean, it's, you know, and we certainly do it with others. Like, if we, I saw something, you know, at the, I'm here for the baseball user group.
I was just going to say, it's a good segue right into this, Tim. Yeah.
You do this well. I saw something, I saw a bunch of things, because each of the teams were presenting a little bit about like their show and their venue and, you know, kind of different things that they're doing. And anytime I watch something from another team, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Or like, oh, I love the way they did that. I love the layout on that graphic. I like, you know, I mean, I look at their mascot, you know, skits. That's hilarious. Like, they've got such good ideas. And the thing is, you know, like everybody in the community shares. I mean, on the field, I guess the teams are in competition, you know, perhaps to some degree, like the sales teams, like if you're in a nearby market, like might both be trying to, you know, get sponsorships from the same soft drink companies or whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, in a creative sense, like we have our own audiences. You know, the people that come to Citi Field to watch a Mets game are not going to become Indians fans or Astros fans or even Yankee fans just because, like, oh, they did a nicer kiss cam. You know, they're Mets fans. Yep. You know, they're here for us. So if I take an idea that I saw at the Brewers and I say, this is tremendous, like we're going to do a version of that for the Mets, you know, or we're going to turn it maybe because there's like a New York angle on it and we can do it for the Mets. But, you know, I know I'm borrowing that idea from the Brewers. That was their great idea, yeah. You know, and that's fine. And you know what, if they see something at our park that they like, you know, that we did and they borrow it and they turn it from Milwaukee and make it great there or even sometimes make it better. Like I've seen instances because at the idea conference, people show samples of their best work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see an idea like on somebody's reel and it's like, hey, that's pretty good, you know, but it doesn't really strike you as like amazing. And then the next year you'll see what another team did with it, kind of like
tweaked it a little bit.
Did it maybe for their market or for their fan, or they have a specific player that it just really works with. And all of a sudden it's like this fantastic feature. The idea came from the first team. The second team just had like, you know, either the creativity or just like the right player, sort of like the luck to find the magic. And that happens sometimes. So, I mean, you ask, like we've had a bunch of like just, you know, features that we thought were really terrific. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're player based. I mean, we're always looking for that chance to showcase the players because really, I mean, when people buy a ticket to the game, they want to see the team, they want to see the players. The music and the boards and everything else, like the, you know, the guest services staff, like the fan friendliness of all the people, that has a huge, huge part in the experience and the quality of the experience. But nobody buys a ticket thinking, you know, like top of mind, ooh, I'm going to go there because it's a really great experience or because they did such a great dance cam last night. Yeah. But
it accents it or
it does. Look, the game is the thing. I mean, to borrow, I guess, from Shakespeare, it's like it is about the game. But all of these great tools and all this media that we have is a way to enhance the experience, to bring the game like to life in a new way. Like when things are exciting, to build that up. If things aren't going so well, to provide a little relief or like comic relief. You know, when you're in the middle of a game that's like so tense and it's like, you know, a one run game and your pitcher's duel right down to the end. Like as a fan, you're really kind of tense. Like you're on the edge of your seat mm-hmm. for nine innings. You need an occasional break. You know, it doesn't mean take you out of the game, take your mind out of the game. But like, even like in a narrative story, like you've got little dips and, you know, peaks and valleys so that you can catch a breather between, you know, before the next big like climactic moment.
Yep.
And so I don't think that anybody buys a ticket because they want to come see the video board show. And yet, like a lot of times if let's say the team loses and people are walking home, they might still have had a good time at the game because of all these things, you know, the really great guest services, the tremendous food at the ballpark, the fun, you know, all these other things mm-hmm. that you can deliver, where you buy the ticket to come see the team. And if the team on that day doesn't win, our goal is that you should still go home like happy. Like you should go home with your friends or your kids or whoever you're with and be like, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good time. And oh yeah, they lost. But like, wasn't that great? Like we had, you know, whatever experience. So that's really our role. When we do programming features, you know, and again, we've got a great creative team and a great, you know, executive producer who oversees that stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's player content. Sometimes it's like bringing to life like a player personality thing. And sometimes it's like fan interaction, like letting kids just be kids. And like, you know, that's always like endearing and funny and just like good to watch. You know, one of the best features I think that we did like a ways back was just a Spanish translation feature where like we had one of the players who spoke Spanish mm-hmm. and we just did like made him a professor and did like a Spanish class.
Oh, okay.
And then went out to, you know, like he would give a word or a phrase and then we'd go out to the fans and see if they could do it. And then he would rate them on, you know, whether they did it well or they did it poorly.
You just had all of them ready to go for the band.
Yeah, a lot of different reactions. And, you know, and he would, you know, so that it felt like an interaction between the player and the fan. They were trying to speak Spanish. You know, some people could do it very well. Some people did it natively, obviously very good. Yep. He had a couple of specific reactions for that. You know, some people did it horribly, you know, just completely butchered the phrase or couldn't say it properly. And it was always like funny. And he was very good-natured, like friendly kind of like, you know, personality. And he drove that feature and it was incredibly popular. Another one that we still do today, we do a little kids home run derby. Like a lot of teams, we have a wiffle ball field or like a small field that kind of mimics the big field out in the outfield.
Oh, it's in the actual field though?
Okay. As part of a play area. It's like on the concourse, you know, beyond
the
outfield.
Oh, okay.
Actually behind the center field board. And so it's our fan fest area and there's a little, we call it kiddie field, like city field. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's like a little replica. And we get out there with a tee and wiffle balls. and kids can try and hit one out. So they can have like a little home run derby. And we turned that into an inning break feature where we just have a kid try and hit it out, and we keep a tally for like the month or for the season. So the record might be 12 home runs, you've got 45 seconds go.
Yeah.
And they just basically try and hit as many as they can. And the crowd kind of gets into it. When they get close to the record,
I bet.
You feel a little buzz. And, you're cheering for a young person, a kid to hit it. So
you're just in the camera crew out there then to just kind of capture that and then come back in? Or?
Yeah. We have one of the wireless cams. We have a RoboCam out there on the field all the time. Because there's a smaller, probably I'm going to say like 8x14 foot Daktronics board there that looks like, in the same position that our center field video board is for the big field.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids, when they're batting and hitting off the tee, can see themselves on the video board.
That's really cool.
So we use the little POV camera, and then we also send one of our wireless out to get like a, better like hero shot. And one of our in-stands hosts will do a little intro and everything. So we play it up. It's like for 1 minute, they're the focus. They're the big leaguer.
No, that's awesome. And you had mentioned you're here for the baseball user group, and I want to come back to that. But just kind of you talking about, how you have different, LED video displays and different ribbon boards and different things around the facility. How do you end up breaking them up and determine what goes on what? I mean, I imagine some of it is determined by sponsorships, what kind of ads are sold, but do you have any kind of way of like, how do you use all the boards? Do you ever bring them all together for the same message every now and then, or how do you use that?
So a lot of, to step back, like a lot of big league clubs right now have one main big video board, mm-hmm. Usually somewhere in center field area, and they zone that and map it different ways to put all the information and video and headshots and stuff. And that's kind of the most common approach. There are teams though, like us, that still have two distinct displays. So we have a straightaway center field board that is our main video board. And then in right field, we have another video capable board that's a little bit smaller, but still, a good size video board that we use as a more traditional scoreboard for baseball stats and information. So that right field board is where you would see line, score, game in progress, that's ball strike out, all that kind of stuff. And we do a lot of, stats, we're pretty stats focused.
It's baseball, yeah.
In baseball. And then, and then a lot of teams, some teams, whether it's the owner or the GM or other people, have like a real stat focus. So we get a lot of encouragement to like use more stats, try and bring in more advanced stats, more like sabermetric type stats, and a lot of the new StatCast data that baseball makes available. So we're always like trying to find new ways to integrate that. So that right field board does a lot of stats stuff. And then we have a series of like ribbon boards, or fascia boards. And that is an advertising vehicle, but with information, because if it was just, not that probably the sponsors might like just having the logo up there, but really for their own benefit, if you put content there that fans want to look at, whether it's game information or something else, it draws the eye, it gives the ad panel portions of it more exposure, because if it's just an ad panel, again, it could look nice, it could animate, there's a lot of things you could do with it, but our philosophy is, if you put something there that's going to draw the eye, like I want to see the pitch speed, I want to see the pitcher stats, I want to see whatever, it gets the eye there, and then the sponsor gets a little more exposure, more glances, I guess.
It gives them a reason to go up and look at it and see that as a part of it.
So, when Brendan McKeon, who does most of our Daktronics stuff, lays out the boards, I mean, he's working kind of on that model where center field is the video board, and they're going to drive that mainly for like the live video, with some graphics and headshot enhancements. The right field board is going to be our scoring display. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where we're trying to get every piece of information that, you could possibly want. And then you've got the ribbons where it's kind of a split between game information and advertising, and then some captioning. We do captioning as well.
Nice. Yeah. No, it's always interesting to hear how people use the displays. And something I've always said before, too, is it seems like as people get comfortable with the displays, either, they unlock some creativity stuff and they pull on that, because usually our customers, the first year they get new video displays, and let's say they haven't had a video display in the past, they're just trying to make sure that they can pull off an event smoothly. And then every year after that, you tend to see them try out new features, bring in new promotions, and get a little bit more testing out what they can do a little bit, I guess. But I wanted to come back to the baseball user group, because you mentioned that's why you're actually here in Brookings today. Sometimes we have guest that calling over the phone, but you're actually here in Brookings. So
I recommend it to anyone.
I was just going to say,
it's beautiful. It's always like this, right? It's always like 40 degrees
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you picked a really good time to be here because I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was like negative 20 or something like that out. So you guys definitely picked a good, it's 35, I think, or something like that today. And it's starting to feel like spring outside. But is this the first year you've came, or how many times have you come out to Brookings here for the baseball user group?
I think this is my third time. And okay. I did get to experience one of the sub-zero years. But even that was fun because it was a good story to tell when I went back home. But yeah, this is my, I think, third time. You know, it's been spaced out, you know, a few years between them. Mm-hmm. And it's a great gathering. At this year's event, we've got a bunch of minor league baseball teams.
Yep.
You've got a bunch of major league teams. And then, you know, what's really great is you've got the whole Daktronics team, all the people that we deal with from like professional services and the field service people and technical and software. So everybody's in a room. So when you start throwing ideas around, you know, from both sides, really, like, you know, the DAC, you know, software people might say, like, what do you think of this? Or like, would you ever want something like that? And from the baseball side, you know, some of the things coming out in the room are like, hey, there's some new advanced stats that currently we can't get. I mean, we can find them on the web, but mm-hmm. they're not part of the stat feed. We'd really love to have these. And right away you've got four teams. Yeah, yeah, we're trying to get those. And so it provides good feedback, you know, really both ways. So we know what's coming and, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of get to see like what new features are available in Show Control and Data Studio and all these other things that, you know, great products that are coming down the line, some of which are kind of like on the horizon, like not quite here yet. Mm-hmm. And they're in the development phase. And some of them are like, look, this isn't the current release. When you go back, you can use this feature right now. And that's actually, those are the best when we find one of those that's like, oh, I've wanted something like that and now it's here. So it's a great, also time frame because we're prepping for the baseball season right now.
Okay.
The production team's just about to go down to Florida to start basically spending like 3 weeks shooting all the content with the players while they're down there. And then they come back with all that stuff and start editing, packaging it, and building out the show. Mm-hmm. So this is like a perfect time to find out if there's, you know, three new features and a couple of new tricks we've got in our tool bag, you know, that we can now apply those for this season. And you brought it up kind of with talking about a team or a venue that gets a new board and has no experience with it.
Yeah.
It's just trying to get the show off the ground. It's not much different for us. Like when we do a control room refresh, or let's say we buy a bunch of new equipment every 10 years, we're kind of the same way. Like we kind of know there's a base level we have to get the show to, but it's going to take us like year two or year three before we know all that equipment like experts and yep. backward and forward and can really dive into all the features. The first year, you just went, the ball strikes and outs have
yeah,
to
right.
be right. The line score has to be right. You know, the first pitch has to go off on time.
Yep.
And some of the other stuff we can forgive, you know? It's not that different for us. Like when we invest in a whole new room, which we're actually going to do after this season. So for 2021, we'll have a whole new control room.
Oh, wow.
Which is an exciting time.
Yeah.
Every team that gets to either build a new venue or do a new control room, it's a whole new
experience.
Yes. It's a happy, but like a little bit scary time as well, because we know everything that we know how to work and all the stuff that's stored and built. That all goes away.
And you're starting over, like you said, and yeah. getting used to it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a wonderful, good, happy problem to have, but we'll be rebuilding everything from scratch. The room, and then, you know, for the content and all the editors and graphics people and everything are going to build everything from scratch. And again, based on that platform of all that new gear and all the new things it can do, taking it up to the next level. But, you know, on day one, we just have to make sure everything works.
Yeah, put the bar where it needs to be, at least to start.
Yeah.
How is your control room like now? Like, is it, sometimes I've seen control rooms that, you know, maybe overlook the field or back in kind of a different area and they use a lot of confidence cameras. Yeah. How is your control room laid out? Do you have different operators too around the stadium?
So we're centrally located. All of us are pretty much in one little space. We have the control room. It's on the press level, a little to the first base side of home plate.
Okay.
We do overlook the field. So the first row of the control room has a great view right out to the field. And so anybody that's got to see like the batter in the box, the on-deck circle, you know, got to be able to track live game events yep. sitting up front. Second row is our director, and then second and third rows is the rest of our, you know, video technicians. So
okay.
The room is actually, it's really nice. I mean, our building opened in 2009, so the room has been through 10 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the equipment, again, anything that's like computer electronics based, 10 years is a long time for the lifespan, but the ballpark and the room itself are beautiful.
I mean,
it's a great, great, great place. I mean, we're so lucky and happy. Like, again, Vito, my colleague, and some of the other people I work with had worked with the team at Shea Stadium, which, again, was also a wonderful experience. But that was an old sort of 60s, like, steel and concrete building. And I have a lot of happy memories there with the team, but it's nothing like a new building. I mean, Citi Field, you know, it still feels new to us 10 years later. And I guess that's a testament to the fact that our owners do real estate and development, so they had a lot of input. They made a really great building. And, you know, again, we did a full DAC package with, like, I never know the exact number of boards, but I'm going to say 12 to 15 displays.
Yeah,
and
right.
And again, we did it really well. Like, it was a great building. We opened it. We put in a lot of great stuff, and it's still serving us 10 years later. We just need to refresh the equipment. And then, you know, eventually, probably a year or two after that, we'll probably try and refresh the LED.
And then you mentioned even just that little, you know, baseball diamond thing you have on the outside for kids. I mean, that's something in stadiums, arenas everywhere now is how can you get people to come in there and create more of an experience rather than just the game? So it's getting people here. We say come early, stay late is kind of like a phrase, but that's exactly what that kind of is get families a little bit more engaged in what you have going on. So there's definitely thoughts into that as all these stadiums get, let's say, rebuilt, renovated, or built new, as they're trying to figure out ways to do that.
Yeah, you'll see that. I mean, at a lot of parks, creating some kind of a fun zone area, something for kids and families, creating a nice walk around concourse experience with great food. Food is another touch point that, like, a lot of teams, you know, focus on, not only because it's a revenue stream, but because it gives you a great part of the experience. You know, gone are the days when you'd go to a venue and you got a hot dog that was of dubious quality.
And popcorn,
you know,
or nachos.
You know, lukewarm soda or something. The food now in these venues is really good. Like, you could go to a Major League Baseball park, or you could go to a football stadium just for the food. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't know that people buy tickets and go just for the food, but part of appealing to a wider audience and competing for that entertainment dollar is it can't just be the diehards. It can't just be the person who lives and dies with the team and goes to every game. You know, again, that is kind of us. That's in our DNA. Like, that's who we are. But it also has to be okay for a casual visitor who just says, like, hey, I want to go. I want to go to a game.
Not a season ticket holder, just
right. Or somebody who says, like, hey, there's a family ticket deal. I'm going to take my two kids and I'm going to go and we're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids may not sit in the seat for, like, you know, two or three innings. You know, they may want to wander around. They've got energy.
Yeah, they got to walk. Yeah.
You've got places to go. You've got, you know, you look, okay, we're going to go to ice cream, and then we're going to go to Fan Fest, and we're going to hit the wiffle ball, and then we're going to go to the dunk tank, and then we're going to do this. And it's, you know, again, we try and make it so that we're, as the parent who's walking them around, you know, you can always keep tabs on the game. You can see the game. You can be part of that experience. But, you know, again, if the kids, like, have a short attention span and then they want to wander a little bit, you can do that. You can feed them. You can, like, give them a little activity. You can take them to go see the mascot, like, all those things. So, and, you know, it can, that's become kind of the norm in Major League Baseball. So when you see any of these new parks popping up, there's food.
You need some. Like,
yeah, there's all that stuff. There's club spaces. It's like, you know, and again, they'll reach out, which, again, our concessions team and the Mets people that deal with the food did a really great job of, like, going out and finding, like, regional, like, specialties and local restaurants.
You can only get there kind of thing if you're visiting. Or...
Yeah, and famous, like, local restaurateurs, like, people that run, like, big name restaurants in the city have, like, concessions presence now in the ballpark. So you can go there and now you've got some, like, cool foodie name value too. and the food's really good. So, you know, it's a win-win.
Yeah, and I guess it's for kids, right? If they have a good experience, and the parents' ultimate hope is that you go home and they loved it so much, they're going to ask, when do we go again, or keep asking to go again. And then, I mean, if you're a fan, even a casual fan, your kids want to be more of a fan, there can't be anything better than that.
But. No, that's, you know, again, if you show a family, a casual visitor, a great time, they're going to remember that. They're going to come back. They may not buy 10 tickets every year. They might just buy one or two. That's fine. Like, everybody that comes in the door, we want them to walk away with the feeling of, like, that was fun. I want to go back.
Yep.
You know, that's our job. That is from all of us on the, whether it's the in-game presentation, guest services, you know, the people that are focused on delivering any kind of, like, service to the fans. That's what we want. You know, we want people to be happy and have a good time here.
Because, you know, a bad experience at any one of those points could affect the entire experience, right? And their want to come back to another game if they have bad food or bad guest service or...
Yeah. One of the things that a lot of stadiums grapple with is, like, inbound traffic or exit traffic is something that we can't always control, but it's definitely part of the experience. So when we do surveys, when we test for fan experience, it's one of the things you have to find out is, from door to door, from your office to the ballpark and then home. Tell us about everything. Was anything an irritant? Was anything bad? And so it's not that we can control everything in the world, but if we understand the traffic flow or that parking might have been an issue or something, and if there are things we can do to address that, like, again, we have some really, really smart people working on parking and guest services and fan experience precisely for that reason, because, you know, even if it's a great game and the food is delicious and the scoreboard show looks great and you laugh a lot during inning breaks and you really enjoy it, again, as you said, if I get stuck for 85 minutes trying to get out of the parking lot.
Dreading leaving and...
You know, or I'm stuck, you know, and I can't get on the highway or something. You know, we have to know that and we have to find ways to make it better.
They're going to think about that the next time they come there is the bad experience they had last time and hoping it doesn't happen again. But, so thinking of the baseball user group again, something that I caught you saying earlier about, you know, idea sharing with other teams of various levels. Because like you said, if you're doing something in New York, and someone borrows that idea that's in California, you're not fighting for the same people to come into those stadiums. So maybe a little bit of benefit of that of this group, but then also I know we've had people on from minor league teams, and I've talked to several before of how they love trying as many random different things of promotions. You know, they can get really cool and crazy ideas in the minor league. Is that something, too, that when you come away with being able to, you know, at least say, well, I don't know if that one's going to work, but maybe I could tweak that, but just being able to see the difference in levels maybe and how you guys benefit from each other.
Yeah, anytime another venue is doing like a creative presentation, if minor leagues, like they can do all kinds of like wild and wacky stuff.
Yeah.
And again, it's great. I mean, some of it we probably either couldn't or wouldn't try at the major league level. Sometimes like things that they play fast and loose with, like, you know, licensing and you know, the rights to use certain things. We can't do that at the major league level.
Yep.
But the base creativity and just the pure idea generation, it's the same. So when we see what they're doing, we're like, that's really great. You know, and is there a version of that that would work for us? Is there something there that we could take away? And the answer is almost always yes. We do, and a lot of other teams do this too. We do benchmarking. So we'll go visit other venues. We'll go around every year and we'll go to a couple of different baseball parks. You know, we'll go see a basketball game. We'll go see a hockey game. We'll go different places just to see the in-game experience. To sit there as a fan and like experience, walk around. What am I seeing? Are there displays on the concourses?
Yeah.
Is there something cool that they're doing with it? Their in-stands entertainment team. Just anything you could take away. And every team does this. We host people that come in just to, you know, when they come through New York, that they want to come and round and check out Citi Field. And it's part of the process. That's how you see what other people are doing. You kind of understand like what new ideas are out there. And so that idea sharing is really, it's key. And again, we're perfectly capable of generating a lot of good ideas ourselves, but it's never going to be a match for if you keep your eyes open and see what everybody else is doing and then, share, you know. And again, in this industry, we're not going to lose a fan to the Yankees or to the Red Sox because, you know.
You have a fan established as one or.
Yeah. Again, casual fans will go anywhere because it's just fun to go and check out different places. But again, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm going to be a Mets fan.
Yep.
I mean, and I'm speaking personally here. I'm a Mets fan. So, you know, I could see the world's greatest scoreboard show, like either across town at the Yankees or at the Angels or anywhere. And I'm not going to shift my fan allegiance. I'm a Mets fan. So, and that's the beauty of sports and kind of we have formed these like allegiances and things. And it's like, it becomes almost like family. Sometimes you get it from your family. You might've gone with your mom or your dad or like a grandparent, you know, but like you form an attachment to the team and I feel it. You know, I mean, I feel it as a fan in addition to as an employee.
Yeah, I always think about growing up. I grew up around Minneapolis area, so I was going to the old Metrodome for Twins and Vikings games, and it's a little different now going to, you know, like Target Field and U.S. Bank Stadium as opposed to, I love the old Metrodome, like you may have said, you know, you like the old stadium, and it was fun in memories, but going to a new advanced kind of stadiums are definitely another level. So is there anything maybe you talked about, you know, there's a good time for this user group because you're getting ready for the upcoming season. Is there anything, and I always ask people if they can say anything, but is there anything cool that you're looking forward to trying here this next year? Is there something you learned at either the user group here or something cool that you're going to be showing fans next year?
Well, one of the big discussions, you know, from my perspective here at the user group has been about stats and trying to use Major League Baseball has a really great array of live stat feeds and of data points.
Okay.
And baseball is a very statistical game. People like to look at averages and percentages and chances of this and that. And so there's a lot of really interesting statistics available. And we're trying to find ways to tap into those live feeds and use them on the board in ways that have like appropriate context. So an example is StatCast, which a lot of people have seen on the national TV broadcasts. It's a series of stats with like calculated metrics or things like if an outfielder makes a great catch. I mean, you can see him run and dive and make the catch. You know it's a great catch.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is they can put numbers to it. They can tell you how is the efficiency of his route to the ball.
Okay.
What was the percentage of probability on that catch? Like would an average person just make that? An average outfielder, an average person would not, but an average outfielder
yeah,
make that
might
catch?
Be different, yeah.
You know, would only the top 1% of outfielders make that catch? What was his foot speed running there?
Like, I was going to ask speed of it too.
Yeah. And if the play involved a throw, like what was his arm, you know, strength on the throw? What was the accuracy of the throw? So these are all interesting things where if you're breaking down a play and like watching a replay later, you can put in some of this information and it helps to kind of like illustrate like, hey, that was one of the top 10 plays of the year right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because I knew it was good when he dove and caught the ball.
But you didn't know how good.
I was certainly happy when he saved the run.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I didn't realize that was going to be like one of the top 5 plays.
Yep.
And that's the kind of information that StatCast can give you with context on what's happened previously in the year or all time. And so that's the kind of stuff we're starting to learn to use. And at the user group, there were a couple of representatives from Major League Baseball who handled their statistics, which was phenomenal. So you got the teams, you've got the Daktronics software development and engineering people, and then you've got the Major League Baseball people who are themselves developing these statistical feeds. And it was like getting all the right people in the room. And it was so, you know, it's like, because we could sit there, two scoreboard operators could sit and say, gosh, I wish I could do this.
Yep.
Gosh, I wish I could do that. Now you're in the room with the people that have the info or could develop new stats if you need them. The people who are, you know, developing the interface to the scoreboard and to all the displays and all the video players and everything. So it was really, I mean, it was really great. So looking forward to this year, there are some new stats and things that we're going to try and implement and implement in ways that are sort of automated or at least streamlined so that as opposed to the old school, like, okay, let me look online and find these stats.
I was going to say, speed has got to be it, right? So right when that catch is made, you're not reviewing that 2 innings later and saying how fast was he and everything else like that. Time is very important.
Yeah. And so any of those things like, you know, we want to make sure the information up there is always right and correct. And that's the thing that, you know, we focus on in the moment. But then you also want to be able to tell the story of the game, tell the story of the player, the season. Like, you know, if you've got a player like we did last year with Pete Alonso, who was on a quest to be like, you know, the home run leader, you know, for rookies. And then ultimately, you know, he did. That was super exciting. So we're watching him. We're tracking his home runs. Like, so if there's a milestone coming up, if somebody's coming up on their 500th, you know, home run or their 200th home run, like you want to be aware of those things because that's a moment. Like you can celebrate that with the fans, but you have to know about it. So the conversations from this, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff that we're looking at. Some new like live, you know, 3D graphics tools from the Daktronics side and you know, a couple of other new products that came into the family. So like we're kind of looking at all that, and it's also a good time for us because we're just on the cusp of designing our new room. We're thinking, okay, how could I use this? And like, you know, okay, could we do this and that? One of the people from the Texas Rangers showed their new scoreboard layout, what they're doing, you know, in their new building and their new room that's under construction now. So they were showing a mock-up, but even looking at their mock-up, it was like, oh, okay, that's really good.
It'd be nice if we had that or lay this out this way.
I see what they're doing there. Like, and they did some design stuff that was just fresh and new. And so all those things we'll take back and, you know, and some of them we'll be able to integrate by opening day. Some of them, you know, we might roll out during the season, either as statistics or parts of the software feed get implemented. And then, you're always growing. You're always like trying to get better. Like, you know, you never get there. There's no destination. This is a journey. You just want to keep getting better. And, you know, like as more stuff becomes available and you have more tools, you just want to try and make the most of them and like do the best you can.
Yeah. I was going to say, do people, the rest of your team from the Mets, do they get nervous when you come back from something like this? If you just have like notebooks of all these ideas and crazy things you want to try?
Well, what's really good is Brendan McKeon, who's like our Daktronics guru and who does a lot of other things. He's one of the top technical people with the team, but he's here with me. So what's good is he's the one that actually would have to implement the things.
Okay.
And he's more excited than I am about some of this
stuff. Well, that's
stuff
a good thing then.
Because he can see the direct relationship between what it does and what that can give us. So, so yeah, but every once in a while, yeah, certainly if we go off to like a conference or a meeting and we come back with like a list of ideas, yeah, there's that sort of info dump that goes on. We're like, all right, let me tell you all the new stuff I'm going to ask you to do. And, you know, in every organization at every level and every department, I'm sure that happens where like, you know, somebody, you know, whether it's one level up or 10 levels up, sees something and says, that's great, we're going to do it. And somewhere a few levels down are a bunch of people that have to figure out how to do it. And again, a lot of my career, that's what I do. It's like we figure out how to do that stuff. And, you know, so we're up for the challenge and like we like that kind of like techie creative blend. So it's good stuff. But yeah, it's the closer we get to opening day, the less someone wants to hear about a new idea.
So it makes me hear, I heard a story one time of it was if they could see in a meeting room, if it was marketing reps and sponsors, the more excited and the more laughing that went on in the room, the more nervous the actual like creators got for what was going to be coming from that meeting. So
I believe it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Tim. I appreciate you coming in here and chatting with me here for the podcast while you're in town enjoying this nice 30-some degree weather here for you.
Thank you for the weather and my pleasure. It's been really great.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dactronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.